Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Not DR today, just kind of DR today. Chris Canty taking the day. So, Rick, it's you and I. You think we'll be able to hold down the fort at a high level?
I think we got to do our best, Dave. We got listen. I mean, during these times, we got to be flexible. You know what I mean? Be able to adapt. Unfortunately, we won't have Chris on the show. Hopefully, everything goes well with him and he feels better. But listen, I mean, we got 3 hours. We got to make it happen.
We're gonna make it. We're gonna make it happen. I mean, and thanks to MLB for helping us along the way. We'll get into that in a couple minutes. The NFL schedule releases tonight, and some details have leaked about that, which we'll certainly get into. Earl Thomas. The only thing that I wish with this Earl Thomas story. Is that the Cowboys had traded for him? Because that would be much more entertaining today.
Thank
what
God.
A bizarro story. Santiago saying, like, thank God that they didn't. What a bizarro story that is. We'll hear from Earl Thomas a little bit later. But, you know, it sounds like today, as we're here on Cinco de Siete, as I like to call this, that sports is inching closer. I mean, baseball has a real plan. This Trevor Plouffe story, which a lot of people scoffed at the other day, of June 10th is when an extended spring training part two happens, and then July 1 or thereabouts is when the season starts. And people say, oh, okay, it's Trevor Plouffe. How could he know this? Well, Jeff Passan with similar reports. It sounds like, hopefully, knock on wood, we're heading down that road right now.
Yeah, at this point, I mean, that's all you can do is be optimistic. I mean, at a certain point, baseball's got to get this thing going. And you know, they're going to do their best. There's still a lot of, you know, questions that need to be answered as far as, you know, how this looks moving forward. I mean, you're playing games with no fans in stands. You know, how does that affect, you know, what the players are paid? I mean, as far as the players and the union is concerned, they already came to an agreement, which is going to have to be renegotiated. Because let's face it, I mean, you're not going to have owners, you know, the team we root for probably being, you know, some of those owners that are going to want to pay players their full salaries. When there's no gate, that's a huge part of a lot of these teams' business.
Yeah, and I understand that, and I mean, you know, if you're the Yankees, and we'll hear from Randy Levine in a couple minutes, if you're the Mets, if you're any of these teams, and you're not getting any revenue from the gate, or you're getting a quarter or a fifth of the revenue at the gate that you would normally get, are you going to be willing to give your high priced players or any players their full salary? I don't think that becomes a real discussion. And I will tell you this. If they don't, the public will side with the owner here. If the players are fed up because they're going to get, you know, say they play 80 games, so you'd get half your salary, but there's no gate. So they figure out a way that you'll get, I'm making up a number, 60% of your salary, and the players have issues with that, and they make that public, I think that the fan will absolutely side with the owner over the player in this kind of a scenario.
I agree with you, but they're going to absolutely have a problem with that. I mean, they were going to get prorated salaries anyway.
Which,
of course. Yeah, I mean, you're going to get paid. You know, they take, you know, whatever you get paid for the 162 for, you know, each game, and then, you know, you'll get that for 80 games. That's not going to happen now. There's no gate. There's no fans in stands. And who knows how long that'll be, because it seems like, you know, Major League Baseball is or has moved away from, you know, the Biodome situation and more, you know, more towards, you know, these teams will play in their own stadiums with no fans for the time being, with the hope that eventually whatever happens, whatever it ends up being, treatment, vaccine, whatever ends up happening, that they'll find a way to get fans in seats. But yeah, I mean, that's going to be one of the bigger hurdles in my opinion, is because as far as, you know, Tony Clark and the union is concerned, they felt like they already came to an agreement as far as, you know, the money the players would be paid.
Yeah, but they're going to have to redo this. They'll have to. And
see, that's what's interesting, Dave, about Major League Baseball as opposed to the other sports. Like, I mean, you know, for the most part, I'm still dealing with it because, you know, the Islanders are still paying me. But, you know, we signed one of the worst CBAs ever, in my opinion, just because we got tied into escrow. So, you know, they go through the numbers and forecast, you know, how much money they'll make and how much money they'll lose, and they'll keep whatever it ends up being, 13-15% of our pay. Like, so every 2 weeks we'll have escrow taken out of our pay. And then
at 15%?
It could be as high as 15%, yeah.
Wow. That's a big number.
It's a huge number, and that's kept in escrow. And then once the season is over, they, you know, recalculate what that number is going to be. And if it ends up being, you know, 7%, you'll get a refund for the extra 8% that they kept, and you'll get a check. Like, that's how it works for us. But in salary cap sports, I mean, how much we get paid and, you know, how much money goes to the players is dictated by the revenues. So, you know, NBA, Major League Base, NBA, NHL, and football have to deal with, you know, what the revenue is going to be. And, you know, right now, you know, baseball being a free market system, I mean, that's in the players' favor, but it's not going to be, because, I mean, there's no way the owners are going to sit back and just pay the players, you know, 100% of what they own.
No way.
When they're not getting paid. Okay, they can't.
And listen, and I'm completely neutral. I don't care. I just want the games. I understand, and I know the owners are billionaires and make, you know, money hand over fist and all that, but I understand that. I really do. I mean, if you're making considerably lesser, if you're not having, think about how much money the Yankees and the Mets make every time they have a home game, between parking and concessions and, I mean, you know, just tickets and everything that people, I mean, if you go to a game, what would you say the average person spends going to a game from beginning to end? Parking for all of it. You have to spend well over $100 per person, right?
Yeah, I mean,
way over.
Yeah, I mean, between, you know, hot dogs and pretzels and, you know, if you're going to have a couple beers and you're going to go to the, you know, buy your kids whatever it ends up being. Like, if
you get a hot dog, a pretzel, you buy your kid something, you park tickets, you got to be looking at, I mean, even if your ticket's, what, $30? So parking's, what, another 30? Now you're at 60. Now you want to buy some food, you got probably spend another 50 or 110. You buy him something, you're another 25. I mean, at a minimum, I think you're spending 125 a person. At a minimum.
Yeah, especially if Uncle Candy.
How many people go to a game?
Yeah, I mean, especially if Uncle Candy's, you know, with you at the game, and he takes Milo into the team store. And
that's
then
nice.
I end up buying, I got a Mets penguin, and I got jerseys and hats and everything else. No, but you're right. I mean, last time I took Milo to an Islanders game, I mean, $12 pretzel, then it's the hot dog, then you're paying, you know, $7.50 for a bottle of water. Yes, it's expensive, man.
It's very expensive.
But Dave, I mean, in saying that, I mean, those are some of the things that are going into these conversations too, because, I mean, as you forecast this thing long term, when we do get back to normal, like, who's going to have that kind of income? You know, there'll be people that are dying to go to games, but in all reality, I mean, you'll be concerned about, you know, obviously, you know, the virus and social distancing and everything else. But I mean, how many people are going to be able to just afford that? Just like,
know.
Hey, you know, let's take the family to a game.
Well, no, I think it's going to take a big hit. I really do. And certainly there's no way that you're going to be able to go and spend that kind of money. Like, you might go and get, I don't know, $25 tickets or $30 tickets or even $50 tickets and bring your family of four, and that's $200, and say, listen, we're going to eat before, or everyone gets a pretzel at the game. We're not buying everyone beers and pretzels and hot dogs and wind up spending $500 cash at the game on top of whatever the tickets happen to be. You can't, I don't know. I would think that takes a big hit moving forward.
Yeah, I would agree with you, but I think that's why these leagues are so incentivized right now to try to get their seasons, I mean, for baseball started, for, you know, the NHL and the NBA, get their seasons finished, because, I mean, these conversations aren't going to stop as far as, you know, how many people are going to be at games and how much money you're going to make. So you're going to try to recoup as much money as you can now. And then, you know, moving forward, who knows what the hell it's going to look like? Who knows what salary cap's going to look like? Look at the NBA. I mean, look at how much money they've already lost with China. Mm-hmm. Now on top of it, you know, losing whatever it ends up being as far as how much of the season they end up losing. And, you know, what does their salary cap look like, you know, moving into next season? I mean, these are long-term ramifications on these leagues.
That's right. I mean, we look at the here and now, and it's like, you know, we're like Cro-Magnon, man, like, want sports back now. But there's a lot of repercussions down the line. Now, Randy Levine, president of the Yankees, was on Fox 5 this morning. He was asked, how important is the gate revenue to the New York Yankees, bottom line?
I think they're very, very important. I think that, you know, they're a significant part of our revenue. I think that... obviously, us, like every single professional sports team, is going to suffer because of it. I think you know, sports is a trillion-dollar industry. We employ millions and millions of people, from people who work at the ballpark to people who work in your business, you know, on radio and TV, to apparel, to hospitality, to all the hotels and restaurants and stores that are around us. So it hurts, but it is what it is. And the most important thing right now, for many reasons, mostly the psyche of America, is to get the games back on the air.
And I think that most people would agree with that. But if you think about it, Rick, I mean, big picture, about the people that maybe don't become employed again. right? The people that need to so badly, the security guards, the ushers, the ticket takers, and I'm sure they'll be in a much smaller capacity, but there's still a lot of people that are relying to go back to work. The people who run the suites. I mean, there's so many different levels of the potential of people going back to their jobs or in this case, maybe not going back to their jobs.
Yeah. Just think about the Yankees games. I mean, just think if, you know, you're an employee for the Yankees, how many people, I mean, that actually involves when you start talking about, you know, those premium tickets where they have the, you know, the giant buffet, how many people are employed there? I mean,
right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, it is.
Every suite, right? I mean, we've been there to the Rangers games at the Garden. I mean, you have multiple people working in every suite, and there's so many people behind the scenes that if you just go sit in, you know, section 327, you have no idea you're even working there during the course of a game.
Yeah, and here's the thing, though, and this is why this is going to be, I mean, as we move forward now with, you know, when baseball actually unveils their plan to the union, and we start talking about, you know, money and everything else, there's a lack of trust. I mean, I've been through this with the CBA negotiations. I mean, you heard Randy Levine talking about how important the gate is and, you know, concessions and parking and everything else. And during our CBA negotiations in the NHL, we had a team, I won't tell you the team, say they made $0 for the entire season on concessions. Zero. Zero. So the money that they were putting into hockey-related revenue didn't include any money that they made on concessions because they made $0, they said.
Well, that's unbelievable.
Well, it's unbelievable because it wasn't true. So you take a deep dive into, you know, what they're trying to sell you, and you realize, you know, it wasn't their company that made the money. It was, you know, you got to follow the branches of companies. It was
right.
This company.
So they had
a
separate company that was making the revenue for all the, yes.
Exactly right. Who was owned by, you know, who was run by the owner's son, and he's the one that made all the money on concessions.
So it's a separate company that had nothing
exactly
to do.
Right.
It never dipped across to the hockey product.
Exactly right. So that, mm-hmm. I mean, that there's a, you know, a lack of trust, and that's, I mean, that's a bigger issue, and that's not something that, you know, we need to get into because, I mean, I think you said it best. We're at a point now where we just want sports. And if all of a sudden baseball comes out with a plan that seems feasible and this becomes a money issue, players against owners, it's not going to be a great look for Major League Baseball.
It's going to be an awful look. No one will tolerate it. I'm telling you, people will hate those athletes and those owners. Everyone will be, you know, hated. Could you imagine if we're allowed to play and they can't figure out a way to make it work and you're locked at home and you would be watching baseball and you just don't have that opportunity? Baseball can't have that happen. It would be a horrendous look for the game. And this is actually the one time where people are desperate for baseball, right? We talk about it all the time, how, you know, baseball, it's not the same sport that it used to be, and there's not the same interest, and people aren't as excited about a game. Well, now we are, and now we're desperate for it. And now they would have the opportunity to be front and center stage with all of the sports out there and maybe come back before anybody else. And if you don't, I don't think people would ever forgive that. And I'm not saying that's right, but I don't think anybody would ever forgive that.
No, it's a perfect opportunity. I mean, I've been saying this about the NHL with no Olympics. I mean, how important this is for the NHL and their partnership with NBC to get their playoffs going. I mean, baseball's kind of like what we do, isn't it? I mean, you know, we talk about ratings and everything else. So sports talk radio it's part of your routine. You try to get people to make, you know, our show part of their daily routine. You know, 10 o'clock for them is, okay, I'm going to turn on 98.7 and listen to, you know, Dave, Rick, and Chris. It's the same thing with baseball. Like, I find myself now with the KBO, like this morning, like I'm, you know, during one of the commercial breaks, I flipped to the KBO and I find myself watching, you know, the Korean baseball. Like, it's now become part of my routine. And I think this is a perfect opportunity for baseball where, you know, people who don't necessarily watch baseball on a regular basis because there's nothing else on, maybe they can start making this part of people's everyday routine.
Exactly. I mean, and it's such an easy transition. I mean, people are not allowed or shouldn't be allowed to go have their normal routines out in public every single day. You're trapped at home much more than you ever were. You're looking for outlets. I mean, people are dying to find new shows on Netflix or Hulu or regular television day after day after day. I mean, for God's sakes, we're talking about Korean baseball. Nobody knows anything about Korean baseball, and you have some people that are excited about watching that go on. So if you brought Major League Baseball back, I think that it would be, people would be to the moon about watching baseball again right now.
Yeah, by the way, just side note, I found my KBO team. I'm a Dinos guy.
But why?
No, because I mean, between their mascot, their logo, it's a big D on the hat. I like their colors. That's really my only reasoning. But
are they good?
Officially, yeah, they're good. They're good too. Yeah, they had a big win today, so I'm officially I'm a Dinos fan.
So big win this morning.
8-2 win. Yeah, they beat the Samsung Lions. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is now officially my team. So when you ask me,
does that set your day up? Like, are you able to now have a good day because the Dinos won and you're a Dinos fan?
So far, so good, man. I mean, I was having a good day anyway. I got Mother's Day taken care of, and on top of it, I got an 8-2 win by my Dinos. So yeah, I mean, good start to the day.
You took care of Mother's Day?
Not quite the Mets. Yeah, Mother's Day's all set.
On Thursday, days before?
Oh, days before, I got Mickey a beautiful, you know, shrug bar in a heavy bag, so she's all set.
Oh, come on.
Took care of her.
Your poor mom.
Oh, she loves it.
I'm sure. Anyway, I'm sure she's glued to the radio, just, you know, exasperated.
You know what's it? Here's the one thing though, Dave, and this is, I can't give you the answer to this question, but it's, you know, and it doesn't seem like we have, you know, a lot of answers to a lot of these questions, but for, you know, Tony Clark, for, you know, Don Fear, you know, for the heads of these unions, for, trying to figure this thing out, part of the biggest problem, and Chris was talking about this yesterday with, you know, finding a consensus, is that when I make some of these phone calls and I talk to some of these people, like, it's the wide range of opinions and views on, you know, the personal agendas of, you know, each team, each player, you know, each owner. It's not easy, man. I mean, they're all over the place. Like, you got players that, you know, their seasons for the most part are over because they're not going to make the playoffs. They have no interest in coming back. You know, you got other ones that don't want to leave their fan. Like, it's trying to come to, you know, some sort of a majority agreement. It's, I would not at this point want to have any part of trying to make those decisions.
No, it's awful. It's awful. And it sounds like the NBA is going to hopefully open up facilities tomorrow, and Adam Silver's going to have a call tomorrow to find out a little bit more about that. But I you know, the more you know, the less you know. I don't know what the right thing to do is. I don't think anybody knows what
you
the
don't
right
know.
Thing to do is.
Because there's no clear-cut path. There really is. I mean, you're at the mercy of the virus.
Before? Nothing.
No one has any idea. No one has any idea. Here's the one thing I will say, though, that probably has to be, if this is going to work for these sports, is going to have to happen. Between the federal government and what's going on state to state, at a certain point, and maybe this is why the NFL has, you know, their teams getting their facilities ready, sports has to be considered essential business. Like states need to consider sports essential business. So that they, you know, these teams can open up their facilities if this is going to work.
I think they will. I mean, you heard what the president said. I mean, weeks ago he had a call with all of the commissioners from all the different leagues. So it does absolutely feel like it's trending in that direction. And you look at the committee that the governor has put together. It's, you know, Dolan's on it and Randy Levine is on it. And so I do. I think the government will consider, right or wrong, I think the government will consider sports to be essential business. And when there is a crack, try to push through that and get sports back as soon as possible. I'd agree with that.
Well, I think you got to get past the optics. I mean, I know the NBA talking about, you know, having enough tests available for, you know, for the country before we start testing our own players. I mean, let's not forget. I mean, when the NFL was pushing through with free agency, there was some backlash. People were upset about it.
It felt weird.
Well, it felt weird.
I love the NFL. It felt weird. It felt weird. And I'm not saying it wasn't the right thing to do, and I'm not saying it didn't take my mind off of everything going on, but it feels, when you have people dying all around you, and you're like, all right, NFL free agency, you know, what did this guy sign? 5 years, $87 million? Oh, he could have gotten 5 years, $94 million. It feels strange. The optics of it are very strange.
And I agree with you, but I mean, that's the reality we're in right now. Like, I mean, you're going to face this. All these leagues will face this. There was pushback with the draft. There was pushback with, you know, free agency. There's going to be pushback once these facilities start opening up. There's going to be pushback if all of a sudden, you know, state to state, they're starting to say that sports is essential business. So you'll have people that own, you know, own small businesses that aren't essential businesses that, you know, can't open their doors. But we're going to have, you know, the NFL, the NHL, and the NBA be able to open up their facilities because now they're considered essential.
Right.
And for a lot of people, sports isn't that big of a deal. But, I mean, the more you read about how much money sports generates, I mean, the fact that, what did I tell you? That the, you know, outdoor sporting industry is what, $427 million a year or something crazy like that? I mean, you're talking about billions and billions and billions,
billions
of dollars.
Billions and billions of dollars.
And right now, I mean, we're at a point where the economy has to start going. It has to. I mean, that's part of the conversation too. You're trying to save as many lives as possible, and sometimes the optics aren't going to be great because there's people, you know, this thing will spike and people will die, and then maybe The biggest question, you know what concerns me the most, in all honesty, and I'm sure it concerns everybody. And I was talking to a buddy yesterday, because we're dealing with this, I mean, on a smaller scale with my high school team, because we have, you know, New York State is giving you kind of like the guidelines as to what happens, you know, next school year as far as your options. Mm-hmm. You know, fingers crossed they go back to school. If they can't go back to school, you know, maybe you do alternating days where, you know, half the kids go on Monday and then stay home on Tuesday and the other half. You know what I mean? Like it's,
yeah, you keep it, and keep it emptier, sure.
Yeah, and then you'll have the third option, which is just what we're doing now, which is online schooling. And how does that affect sports? Well, you can't have, we can't have sports seasons if we're doing, you know, half the kids come on Monday and half the kids come on Tuesday. That's not going to happen. So, I mean, my bigger concern is because we really don't know, and who knows when we're going to have a vaccine, and will that vaccine work, or will this thing mutate, is what happens if all of a sudden now we get into the fall and this comes back? If we feel like we got it under control, then all of a sudden it comes back, and how that affects us again. So, I don't know, man. There's so many hurdles, so many obstacles, so many questions that remain unanswered. But I think that's going to continue to be the case, and these leagues are just going to have to make a decision. This is the best of what we got, and let's try to make it work.
Yeah, and I think that's what they will do. But again, every time, and this is the thing, that's why I never get too excited when you hear like, oh, NBA might open back up, or NHL might this, or, you know, Major League Baseball is doing this, is because every time it feels like we take this step, you're like, okay, here we go. It's starting to get some groundswell. Something happens, or there's a negative, or you move in the wrong direction, and then you move back in the right direction. I mean, this really is very roller coaster-esque, because every time you feel like, all right, we've taken two steps in the right direction, you take a step back, and then you take another step forward, and another step back, and I don't know, every day you have, all right, we're moving forward. We're moving towards this. This is going to happen. And then it's like, oh, maybe it won't. And maybe it will. And maybe it won't. And our guy's going to complain about pay. And, you know, what are the owners going to do with no fans? And it's so many. And then, I mean, the logistical nightmares that you're going to have to overcome by putting these sports on are just, it's a lot. It's a daunting, daunting task. And it doesn't mean that I don't want it, because I want it more than anything, but it's a daunting task to think about.
Yeah, the fact that you want it, and there's, you know, owners, players, and, you know, people that love sports that want it. There's, you know, the president that wants it. There's governors that want it.
We all want it.
They'll find a way to make it happen, but it's, at no point will this be perfect. I mean, and you're going to have, you know, teams come back, and people will test positive for COVID. I mean, that's just even look what's going on now with Amazon. I mean, they've delivering packages and everything. They got a bunch of, you know, people that work for Amazon that are trying to do all the right things, and you got them testing positive. It's just people that are staying home.
Right. Well, that's the weird thing. Like, if people that are staying home and isolating and locking themselves away are somehow contracting this, you almost throw your hands up and you say it doesn't even make sense at this point.
Yeah, well, there's nothing. I mean, you're asking what? I mean, for, you know, a hockey team, you're asking, you know, the 25 guys in your team and coaches and staff and everyone else. You're putting a lot of trust in people. And you're asking all these people to, you know, consistently do all the right things. Like, I'm watching the KBO this morning, and the guys can't help themselves. Like, they're slapping five and everything else. And the argument is, well, they have batting gloves on. Okay, well, how do they take the batting gloves off?
Right.
Well, they have the batting gloves on. Do they accidentally touch their faces? And I'm watching highlights of soccer where they're trying to, you know, social distance, and they feel the need to, you know, to tap elbows and give bumps before the game. I'm like, is that really necessary at this point? No. Okay, we're playing. They just say, hey, okay, have a good match. Like, you just, it almost feels like you're at a point where it all sounds great on paper, but you got to plan for the worst, because it just feels like it's bound to happen. Like, you're talking about people staying at home, not going out, self-quarantining, and still testing positive because, you know, maybe they didn't, you know, maybe they didn't wash, you know, maybe they didn't wash off their package. And once they picked up the package, you know, they touched their, whatever it ends up being. Like, that's how easily this thing transmits. How easily you can get this thing. So, I mean, I guess bottom line is you take all the proper precautions. You do whatever you can to try to be as safe as possible. But in all reality, you're going to run into a bunch of problems, and you got to, hopefully, you know, these leagues have the answers when they encounter them.
Well, you have to have contingency plans. I mean, you have to. And I'm not even saying that we need to know what they are every step of the way, but you have to. I mean, every league has to think worst case scenario, or, you know, start here and branch it off into 10 different avenues of what happens when this happens and what happens when this happens and what happens when we allow fans back in and when we allow fans back in, there's no way it can be 50,000 people at a game, right? I mean, you're going to have to socially distance and when do we do that? At what point do we allow fans back in? There's so many different avenues that you're going to have to potentially go down. And I'm not saying I need to have the answers now, but they need to have the answers going in before they agree to come back to the field.
Yeah, I agree with you. But, I mean, you're going to get to a point, I think, where it's going to be more of CYA than anything else, right? Like, even when you start to try to incorporate fans coming into your stadiums, you'll have, seats disinfected. You'll have social distancing. You'll have, people taking your order at your seat so you can, not stand in a line. How they decide to, work the bathrooms, who knows? I mean, but at the end of it, you can take all the precautions you want. I mean, that's not going to guarantee that everyone that comes to your stadium or everyone that's playing in these games is going to be safe.
No, my point also impossible. On top of that is, assuming, and you're right, that it's going to happen, right? When there is an outbreak at a stadium or something does happen at Yankee Stadium or Citi Field, that when that does happen, there is a plan in place. Okay, you know what? We've had, the first 20 people through the gates have a fever or whatever the case may be. That's it. No fans for the next 2 weeks. Or like, you have to have plans in place heading into this so that when something does go wrong, you're prepared for it in advance.
Yeah, at least be at the point where you feel so good about your plan that you're able to ignore some of the noise.
Yes.
Because there will be criticism and there will be, like you said, I think you said it perfectly, it's been like a roller coaster. Like, there'll be ups and downs. You'll have to be able to adjust on the fly and have a bunch of different contingency plans if, X, Y, and Z happens. But I guess all you can really do is have as many smart people involved as possible and come up with the best decision possible, the safest decision possible, and stick with it and feel good about it.
Yeah. Yeah, just have a path and follow the path and feel confident in that. And then there's going to be a ton of outside noise of critics and people that like what you're doing or hate what you're doing. You just have to believe that you're doing the right thing and move forward like that. But here's the question. And I know that they won't open up the stadiums to us right away, but I'm telling you right now that there is no way I'm going to a game with my kids for the foreseeable future. And I know that there's a lot of people that hear this and they're like, oh, I would go and I'll buy beer and I don't care about, and that's fine. You do that. There's no way I'm going to a game with my kids for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. I mean, I would try to limit the exposure. First of all, I try to limit my exposure, but especially the exposure of my young kids. That's not even a question.
Yep. All right, here's more Randy Levine. How long will you go without fans, Fox 5 this morning?
I think that all depends on the state of the virus. We just have to watch it on a daily and weekly basis. We have to follow the federal guidelines, the state guidelines, and see where the virus is. Hopefully, and there are some, public health people who have said that they believe the virus, will wane in the summer months. Let's hope so. So I think it's something you need to watch on a daily and weekly basis.
I mean, basically what he says there is we have no idea. We just don't know, and we will take this as it comes, right? That's what you heard?
Yeah, that's what I heard, because I don't think anyone has the answers.
No.
Like, no one knows what this thing is going to look like. No one knows what's going to look, what the country or the virus will look like next week, let alone, trying to forecast when you're going to get fans in seats, when you feel like that's going to be safe. I just think at a certain point, you have to be, it's like when you're watching these, alcohol commercials, right? Please drink responsibly. Or, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Like, it's going to, at a certain point, these leagues are going to put it, they're going to put the responsibility in your hands as a fan. We'll be open. Now it's up to you to make sure that you do the right thing.
And have you seen they opened up the Joe Exotic Zoo down in Florida? Have you seen that?
No, I didn't see that.
They reopened it. And they said you got to make sure you socially distance. People waiting to pet the tigers, touching, like locked in arm, because that's just how it is. So,
but that's the thing I think is amazing. People wondering, how long, what's the new normal? We see people, pack into stadiums and arenas. The answer to that question is if they can afford it, they will.
Absolutely.
You can't keep, when it's sunny out, you can't keep people off the beach, let alone.
I'm never going to financially recover from this.
Like people are going to go back to games if they can afford to go back to games.
100%.
That's not even a question.
100%. But you got to see a photo of it. I mean, so they finally opened up the exotic farm, I guess is what it's called. And I mean, thousands of people. You couldn't turn without bumping into someone is how crowded this thing was. So the question is, will people return?
Dave, you know this. I mean, how many people that you know, how many adults that you know like to be told what to do?
Very few.
Yeah. So I think people have been doing a really good job, but at a certain point, people can be like, okay, enough is enough. Like, just stop telling me let me make my own decision. Let me decide whether or not I want to take the risk. That's what it's going to turn into.
In these trying times, very important to remember we pull together as a community. Small businesses all over are going to be feeling the lasting effects of this pandemic. If you are a small business trying to get the word out that you're still serving the community, let us know. Send us an email to 9870ESPN@gmail.com. Let us know your story so we can pass the word along to our community. Today, Rick, is a very dark day in New York Knicks history. Very dark.
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring it up. I was going to focus more on Bartolo Colon hitting his
anniversary. Was it 40 years ago today?
42-year-old Bartolo Colon going yard.
That was one of the great, not that it was that important, but one of the great sports moments that you've ever enjoyed.
I have no interest in seeing pitchers hit except Bartolo Colon. That's it. Because he makes a mockery out of it.
It's unbelievable. It was just like the perfect storm. He just connected, and he didn't just kind of go over the fence. He unloaded on that.
No, he smashed it.
Yeah.
I mean, Bartolo Colon smashed it. Talk about, you know, physical freaks. The fact that he was able to do what he did for as long as he did with that body. I mean, come on.
But if you look, he was not always that big. Like early on in his career with Cleveland, he was a picture of health.
Yeah, he packed them on, man. I mean, he packed them on, but give him credit. I mean, he lasted a really long time.
Oh, my God. Forever. Forever.
But he did put in a question. I mean, the fact that he tested positive for PEDs makes you question everything.
Yeah. So a lot of questions all wrapped up into that. But, yeah, so 25 years ago today is the Reggie Miller game, which was awful. And then
disgusting.
4 years ago today is the Bartolo Colon home run, which is great.
Yeah, let's focus on the positive. I'm sick of focusing on the negative. Let's focus on Colon hitting the home run.
The home run against the Padres. Beautiful park, by the way. You ever
been
to that park?
Problems here. No, I have not been to that park. Oh. I love San Diego, by the way. I mean, if you could, you know, move one place, San Diego is gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. The weather's always beautiful. You know what the great thing about that park is? Literally, you walk from your hotel. I mean, we stayed at the Marriott, which is right there. The Marriott to the park. Maybe, Rick, maybe a quarter mile away. Maybe. You walk out the front door of the hotel and you're in your seat 7 minutes later.
Was that San Diego trip the one where you're supposed to spend that vacation at your man crush's house with him?
Yes. That was that's correct. Steve Weatherford. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was during the Rangers run of 2015 when they went to the conference finals, lost in game 7 to Tampa. Yeah.
And then he sent you to a hotel, right?
But he paid for it.
Well, which is beautiful. I don't want to stay at his house anyway. Do you feel like uncomfortable when you stay at someone else's house?
We don't really do that. I don't know that we've ever
really
done
either.
That, to be honest. When Ben was little, we were living in North Carolina. We went to visit friends in Wilmington and we stayed with them. But other than that, I don't know that we've ever done that. Yeah, but yeah, I thought it'd be fun. And he said, stay with us. So we have a huge house. And I'm sure he did. He said, we have a beautiful pool and tennis court. And then he's like, his wife was pregnant because she's seemingly always pregnant. And he's like, you know what? It's just, she's not sleeping. And I just think it'd be kind of a burden. He's like, you know, can you stay at a hotel? And I was like, well, all right. And I was a little bit annoyed because we had planned for the entire trip. And then he's like, but of course I'll pay for it. I was like, that's right. There you go. So he put us up at, I mean, a 5-star, like, brunch included the next day was unbelievable.
Well, that actually worked out better then.
That was great.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't really want to stay at his house.
I mean, either way, I'd have been fine.
No, the only reason you wanted to because it was free. I mean, it helps stomach going all the way across the country. You're not paying for a hotel room. So now all of a sudden you get first class accommodations for free.
Oh, come on. That's a win. I mean, that is a win. We had our own private pool with that room.
See, now we're talking.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Now we're talking.
That's
I would live in a hotel. I'm going to be honest. I would live dealing with what I deal with owning a house. I would 100% live in a hotel.
Live in a hotel?
And have no problem. I would love to live in a hotel.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I wouldn't want to live in a hotel. I need my own space. I need my own comforting area. I don't want to live in just some random person's dwelling. No. I need my own.
It's not some random person's dwelling. I mean, if you lived in the hotel, now you own the hotel room. That's now your, I mean, that's
well,
your
you
own
don't
space.
Ever own a hotel room.
But you just never check out.
You just never check out. It's like Hotel California.
Exactly right. Sheets cleaned, room service.
That'd be nice.
On demand movies. Day. Oh, it'd be perfect.
But you hear what goes just on in those hotels? The dirt that they find? Oh.
I my wife takes care of it. We're not allowed in. She goes in. She disinfects everything. She cleans. It's beautiful. Cleans it perfect. I don't have to deal with landscaping. I don't have to deal with mulching.
No,
if
taxes?
Something breaks.
No.
I got no, now all of a sudden, you know, I'm sweating like Patrick Ewing on a fast break. I got no air conditioner in my bedroom. It's terrible.
Yeah. There are all the hurdles
of being a
homeowner.
Oh, my skin's melting off.
Something breaks. You got to have someone over.
Hands. I got this maniac this morning riding around the lawn from the rain is soaking wet, and he's bombing around on a sit down lawnmower. I got tire tracks. It looks like I got tire tracks all over the lawn. Ridiculous.
To the hotel we go. Nick in Middletown. Let's go there as well. Nick, you're first up on 98.7 ESPN.
How you doing, guys? So I have two quick points. First of all, I don't know why we're talking about. We're right in the middle of the pandemic. Why we're talking about reopening sports and. It's just not necessary to put ourselves at risk. And like I said, we're right in the middle of it. That's one point. The other is I treat the sports world like the off season, like hot stove. And Dave, I want to know what you think about the Knicks. You think that they can get or would want guys like Blake Griffin and or Chris Paul for their 1 year expiring contracts? I mean, would the other teams do that just
well,
to get
I don't,
rid of
I don't think
Chris Paul's got 2 years.
Yeah, he's got 2 years.
Chris Paul's
yeah.
got
oh,
two
no,
years.
Oh, no, they will take the two, but I mean, could we trade him for our 1 year expiring contracts? Like, would OKC
you'd have
do
to.
That?
You'd have to make the money work. Who knows if OKC would do it? I mean, Julius Randle, I drive him there myself. But I mean, you have to do that. I mean, Chris Paul's making over $40 million a year for the next 2 years.
For the next 2 years, yeah. I think he's got, what, $87 million left on this deal?
Right. Could we do that and keep our draft picks and, you know, our Barrett and Robinson, but would they do it? Would those other teams do that for 1 year contracts? Do they want to keep those guys?
I don't know. We'll find out. I mean, there's no way you're trading Barrett. There's no way you're trading Robinson, and you're not giving up any pick of any real value. I mean, if you give up the 24th pick in the draft, I'm fine with that, but you're not giving up your selection. So, look, I'm really torn on Chris Paul. I think I'd be okay with it, but it's a lot of money to bring in. But it's only 2 years, and he is a leader. I mean, there's really a lot of differing viewpoints on it, and I understand that. But I'm not giving up anything of real value. If I can find a way to bring in a Blake Griffin or a Chris Paul and kind of change the dynamic of this team right now, I think I'm okay with that, Rick. But I'm not doing it mortgaging the future any step of the way here. No way.
Well, I don't think that Blake Griffin would – I mean – would bring as much positive as having Chris Paul. And who knows? I mean, he's asking questions. I mean, would you have to give a draft pick? I mean, Oklahoma City, I mean, they're having, for them, I mean, everyone thought they were going to be a bad basketball
season.
Team. I mean, they're having a great season. I mean, if all of a sudden you went straight into the playoffs, they got the fifth seed. So who knows if they want to trade Chris Paul? The reason why you'd bring him in and pay him all that money at his age is because, you know, maybe he can start to change the whole conversation surrounding the New York Knicks. If he has a great experience, I mean, he is the president of the Players Association, has great relationships, that maybe, I mean, you would have that benefit, that he could, you know, change the whole, you know, it's brutal to play in New York for the Knicks
yeah.
conversation.
Like, almost like he tests the water, right? He jumps into the ocean, and he's like, all right, guys, it feels good. Everybody else come on in. And then everyone's, all right, I can go to New York and without any fail, right? Things will be okay for me. Like Chris Paul as the tester for this?
Yeah, that would be the hope. That would be the hope. I mean, that's why you brought in Leon Rose, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
To make it safe for everyone else, like all his relationships, all his clients, that he can, you know, he can be the one that, you know, is able to pick up the phone and let whoever it ends up being know that this is a good place to play. Whatever you've heard, isn't necessarily true. That's what you want.
I would love that. I mean, and that's such a positive. Well, it's kind of twofold, right? You bring him here, you're going to get better. He's still, I mean, I understand he's, what, 35 years old, but he's still a good point guard. And you look at his numbers, he's having an excellent season. And just look at the record of Oklahoma City. So that's number one, is that he should make your team better. But probably more important is, if he comes here, and you know he has the ear of a lot of guys around the NBA, and he has a good experience, does that make it, you know, more of an attractive place to go if you're a young superstar in this league? And that's a huge positive, potentially.
That's a huge positive. I would imagine that would be the case. And on top of it, I mean, the kind of leadership that he would bring, depending on who the coach ends up being. And, I mean, the fact that you got some young players that could use, I mean, let's face it, they could use some direction. It's not like this New York Knicks team. When you look at the veteran players on this team, they have, you know,
And Morris is that guy now. He's not here anymore.
No, he's not here anymore.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, that's definitely something you lack. And as far as the money's concerned, no one wants your money anyway.
No. It's kind of sad. Let's go to Mike and Deal. Mike, you're on 98.7.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Mike?
Just before I get to my comment about going to live games, I just want to give you guys a great, heads up. You know, it's amazing there are no live sports, and yet for some reason, still when I go into a car with my wife, I still have an argument of if we should listen to music or if I want to listen to you guys. And she keeps on telling me, there's no live sports. What could you possibly want to listen to them for? So I want to give you guys credit for doing such a great job at, keeping us interested in everything.
So who wins? Do you win with us or does she win with the music?
No, I don't win ever. No,
you never win?
Wife. No, only when I'm by myself I get to listen to you guys, which is, you know, thank God today I got a nice long drive. So, but usually my wife always wins. I got the kids in the car, so she doesn't want me listening to sports and, you know.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Time out. Especially, I mean, when you're listening to Dave and I mean, your wife's missing a perfect opportunity. I mean, between, you know, some of the recipes I have, some of the gift ideas for Mother's Day, how much Dave and I love our wives and our kids. I mean, she's missing a perfect opportunity to have you listen to us and then, you know, take some of what you learned into the house.
It's a renaissance show, Mike. It's a renaissance show.
You are absolutely correct. I'm going to bring that up to her when I get home.
That's right.
But now to my point real quick. So, you know, one of the biggest debates I have with my friends all the time is, you know, do you watch a game from home? They're always telling me, you know, it's better to watch it from your couch. You get a better view of the game. And I'm very big on going to the game. There's nothing like being with the crowd, hearing the crowd noise, cheering with a bunch of crazy people. You have no idea who they are, right? And this whole virus thing has really brought to light, you know, unfortunately, you go to the game, you don't worry about the drunk people coughing on you, spitting on you. You just go and you deal with it. And if you catch something from it afterwards, you don't even know where you got it from. And unfortunately now, you know, with this whole virus, it's going to be a very long time before I'm able to go to a game and not worry about that and not slap a random person hand a high five when my team scored the touchdown. I think the only way I'm going to a game now is if I can go to a private suite and not have to worry about that. And unfortunately, I don't have the money for that. So it's going to be a long time before I ever spend money going to a live event and am able to forget about this whole virus and not worry about it. You know, I just wanted to get your guys' take on that.
I don't think you're wrong. I think a lot of people are going to feel like you. Now, as evidence, and by the way, I got yelled at during the commercial. How could you have said that Joe Exotic's place was in Florida? It's in Oklahoma. I apologize for that. But, you know, people in Oklahoma are in droves are going to Joe Exotic's, you know, Tiger Farm, which is
Carol Baskin. Carol Baskin.
Florida. I got confused.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Which tends to happen. But I think there's going to be a lot of people on both sides. I think there'll be plenty of people to say, you know what, I'm going to live my life. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going back to the game, and whatever happens, happens. I'm comfortable with that. I think there's going to be a lot of people like the caller who says, you know what, I just don't feel that comfortable, and I'm going to take a respite. I'm going to take a bit of a break from going to live sporting events.
Yeah, I think initially, but I think we all, I mean.
You will
I
go
can't
back.
Speak for everyone. But just think about it. He's got kids. You have kids. Like, yeah, I mean, is it. You know, more dangerous or you putting yourself at more of a risk going to a live sporting event or sending your kids to school? You trust your kids when they go? I mean, when they go back to school full time?
No, I don't trust them, and I don't trust other kids even more than I don't trust mine. But here's the thing is school feels like it's a necessary next step back. my kids going to a sporting event, I don't know is a necessary next step back for them right away.
Yeah, bringing your kids may be a different story. I'm just saying you personally. I mean, are you more likely to catch whatever it is from going to a Rangers game or a Mets game or having your kid bring home something from school?
Probably the them going to school and bringing it home.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times? I mean, I can't tell you how many times.
There's only so much you can do.
Where they go to school, they wake up in the middle of the night, they're throwing up. I'm so psychosomatic to the second their vomit hits the toilet, I'm like, I think I have it also. I tell Sherry, I'm pretty sure I have this. Now I get fake nauseous or whatever the case may be. Now I'm laid up. I don't even know if I have it or not. So absolutely, there's a chance that that happens.
No, there's more than a chance that it happens. I mean, there's only so much you can do. I mean, in all honesty, I mean, there's, you know, once they come up with something, a vaccine, you know, hopefully they fast track it and we get that soon. I mean, there's only so much you're going to be able to do to protect yourself.
You did the best.
I mean,
you
now
can.
All of a sudden, because it's, well, but yeah, I mean, now all of a sudden, because it's, I mean, it's what we're all focused and obsessed with. You start really, I mean, breaking this thing down and coming into contact with, you know, all these different kind of germs, like how many people touch this, how many people touch this package, you know, once I get the package, how long do I have to leave it outside before I can touch it? Then once I touch it, do I, you know, I gotta, you know, put gloves on. And now you're listening to people say, well, a lot of people aren't taking their gloves off the right way, so now it's getting on their hands, and then they don't wash their hands because they thought they had gloves on, so now they touch their face or whatever. Dude, it's like, it'll drive you crazy.
All right, speaking of that, there are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Like what? Like washing your hands, like avoiding close contact with people who are sick, like avoiding touching your eyes, your nose, your mouth, staying home when you're sick, covering your cough or your sneeze, cleaning and disinfecting frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN New York. I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Just click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play ESPN New York at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. Let's bring him in. Andy from Merrick with his trivia question of the day. Now, Andy, you probably have three ready to go, but Chris is not here for your first question today.
Well, I'm nimble, Dave, so I have one for you, one for Rick, and then one for the two of you.
Oh, okay. All right, I think we're ready.
All right, starting with Rick. Rick, your former road roommate, Craig Berube, ranks number 7 on the all-time penalty minutes list. Can you tell me who holds the Islander record for most time in the penalty box?
Oh,
most time in a, this is a great question. Craig Berube, by the way, awesome roommate.
And,
made the mistake
champion,
one time
too.
Of, yeah, which is good for him, but I made the mistake of at a Japanese steakhouse letting them know that it was his birthday when it wasn't, and that did not go over well. I can promise you that. They came out with like a hat and sparklers. They were all singing. He got up. I thought he was going to punch me in the face. He walked right out.
Now, Andy, let me clarify something. Did this guy play his entire career with the Islanders?
I do not believe so.
Okay.
Oh, did not play his entire career with the Islanders.
No, he definitely did not. He definitely had short stints with some other teams at the end of his career.
But if I say what team is he known for, he'd be known for.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Okay.
Oh, without a doubt, he was known as an Islander, huh? Let me think here. I'm going to go with... I want to say these guys. I want to say that the Chief, actually, they shared the same. I'm going to go with, is it Gino Ogic?
No.
Can I get a guess?
You can get a guess, of course.
Was it the Bomber?
Full name?
Ken Baumgartner?
Oh, I know who it was. I know who it was.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it was Vakota. I know who it was.
Mick the Quick is correct.
Yeah, idiot. Yeah.
All right, Dave. The most games in a Met uniform is Don LeGrecker's favorite player, Ed Crane-Pohl.
Crane-Pohl!
Yes.
Thank you, Santiago. My
Look
question
you.
To you
Look
is...
You playing drops? Look at you, Andy.
Listen, you're a first-rate show. We got to have first-rate production. Can you tell me which Met pitcher has appeared in the most games donning the blue and orange?
Career?
Most career games appearances as a Met pitcher.
Oh, God. Oh, God. So who's been there the longest? I mean, I think Doug Sisk is up there, but it's not Doug Sisk. Gooden's got to be up there. Seaver? Oh, God. Could it be Gooden? How long was Gooden was there for? A good amount of time?
Without helping you, I think you got to go a little bit more towards the reliever.
I got to go more reliever.
Yeah, it's game appearances.
Could be a Roscoe. I don't know that I'm going to get this one, Andy. I'm gonna say. Oh, now
come
I got
on,
Santiago
Dave.
Chiming. Oh, this should be
come
easy.
Come on,
I
Dave.
I do not know this. You know this?
Let's go. Come on. Me, no.
How about it could be Franco. Okay. Well, I'll go Franco.
Brooklyn's own John Franco. You got it.
All right.
All right. The bonus
I didn't even know that I was going to go there. I was just throwing it out there, but okay. I'll take
it. Bonus question for the two of you. Bartolo Colon, anniversary of his home run today.
Yeah.
The Big Sexy played for 11 teams. Who holds the Major League record by having played for 14 Major League teams? The hint is neither the Mets or Yankees were one of his teams.
Really?
Yep.
Because I would have said Octavio Dotel could have been there.
That's why I threw the hint, because yeah. Dotel played 13 teams.
Hmm.
I think I know this one.
You know it?
Yeah, I think I know this one because I played with Silly. And we used to joke with Silly because Mike Sillinger played for so many teams.
Right.
Andy, is it Edwin Jackson?
That is correct.
Nice.
Nicely done, boys.
I am the smartest man alive.
Beautiful. Good job, Andy. Thanks.
Guys, stay healthy.
That was wonderful. Really, that was.
I got a great John Franco story, too. I can't tell you now because we're up against it, but.
I look forward
to that.
DiPietro, Catty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.